You're listening to Master Your Magic, a podcast meant to move your life from mediocre to magic AF.
I've known you for, a long time. And I've always kind of like looked at you as like an older sister that I never had. And you were one of those teachers who, when I first started doing yoga and practicing yoga in LA, I just really looked up to you and like your energy and what you brought to your yoga classes. Like I feel like I learned so much more in depth with like teaching yoga from actually taking classes and yours in particular. I mean, you do learn a lot in teacher training, but I feel like you kind of have to like, you kind of have to do your own learning as well. And I learned so much from you. And you just always, I feel like you always had some like magic story and energy that you like brought to your classes, and your music was always on point. So I really feel like, I don't know, you were just one of those expanders for me, and you probably always will be.
Dude, I felt the same about you. It was always like super comforting having your presence like always there. And just like, I mean, if anybody out there listening has never seen her yoga poses, they're like ridiculous and beautiful. And like, I just remember always having you in there with like, you've got such like beautiful goddess tribal vibes. And I always just felt like your energy is very powerful, very strong. And did we meet in Hollywood Core Power, or did we meet in Sherman Oaks?
So I think I met you at, not Sherman Oaks. I'm pretty sure I met you at Hollywood. Yeah.
Opened.
Yeah, because I remember like I was on the YFT team, the Yoga for Trade team, and that's when I helped them like open that one. And I was going through like a pretty rough and weird time. Like I had just lost one of my friends, I want to say like a few months before they opened, and or maybe like, yeah, like 5 months before. And like your classes just like literally helped me so much, just like energetically cleanse. And I don't know, I feel like it's hard for me to connect with certain yoga teachers because of the whole like love and light kind of crowd. And I'm so not like that. Like I love how you said I have a powerful energy. Sometimes I feel kind of dark, to be honest. And I feel like that's why I kind of resonated with you so much, because when you walk into the space, you're not bullshitting. You're not walking in there with a fake grin on your face. You come in there. I'm really good at energy reading, and I could always tell, even though I barely knew you, I'd be like, I wonder like what's going on in her life. 'Cause she seems like this, or I would have like my own, like, you know, my own thoughts and distractions. But I just felt super gravitated towards your energy. And I think that's for people who are listening, who, you know, have been practicing yoga for a while, they definitely know what that means. When you just gravitate towards a teacher. And I always loved when you, I guess it like fed my ego a little bit, but when I was like in your class and you would always ask me to like show dancer pose, it like made me feel so good, because you like saw my hard work, and I felt like you always pushed me like super hard to the edge, which I really love.
Oh my God. Thank you. No, I agree. Super same. I gravitate towards specific teachers because oftentimes like I think there's a lot of bullshit out there, and like, I think there's someone for everyone, but I agree 100% that like, I don't know, when you've got some dark stuff happening in your life, like some of the time, like I think when you go on your spiritual path long enough, you get past the point where you think that everybody needs to live in the light and everybody needs to, you know, it's like, that's a phase that people can go through when they're on the spiritual journey. But then you start to embrace the fact that like spirituality means both darkness and light, and it will always be that way. And like, that is like something that I really resonate with in yoga, that like, you know, you're never ever going to have just like, okay, your practice is done. You're officially the yogi. You've mastered it. There's literally no way to ever be the best or ever master it or ever like have an ending. Like, you're always going to come across layers that you can't do, things that frustrate you, things that like poke at you, things that make you tap into like some of the shit that you've got like buried in you. And it's like, you know, the fact that you would show up on your mat sometimes literally twice a day, or even what, were you doing like 3 classes a day? I was like, what?
Literally. Well, yeah. So like this time of my life, I was barely working. I was super poor. And especially right before I did my teacher training, and then during teacher training, I didn't have a job. I was living off of the smallest amount of money that I had. I don't even understand how I did it, but I had enough for rent at least. And I know that teacher training was like a month, maybe a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I somehow had enough money to get through teacher training with no job, because I was like, well, how am I going to have a job when it's like pretty intensive, you know? And then I was like, you have to take all these classes. And yeah, there'd be times where I would take the noon class because that was the one that we had to take, the original, like, whatever, core power yoga. And then I would take your HPF at night, and that would be like my nightcap, because that's what got me to like the next level. And I feel like that's what the HPF classes, which for people who are listening who don't know what HPF is, it's basically like a Bikram style class, but it's an hour, and it's just as hot, and it just got me to a different level of surrender. And what you said about finding things that are buried in you, like, that's what I kept finding when I went to my mat. Like, each time was just, you know, a crazy wild experience. Like, I've cried so many times taking HPF, and like, I don't know. It's something about core power yoga too. Like, that studio had a really good energy to it at that time. And I was an open vessel. I was like an open wound, and I was ready to just like heal and cry. And, you know, I was finally connecting to my body, and thank God, you know, I had the opportunity to, you know, to do that teacher training and have the, you know, the means to not work. But then right after, I had to like really find a job, and it was rough living in LA. It was really rough. And if it wasn't for your classes and Laura Rebecca's classes and, you know, some other teachers, I don't know where the fuck I would be. You know, it really gave me life, because I was so deeply depressed.
I agree. Like, I think Hollywood had a very powerful community, and it was like, it's almost like a safe zone for people that are like not doing well. Actually, I have a question for you, because I, first of all, agree completely with the specific sequence that you're talking about, HPF. Mm-hmm. When I did, like back in 2006, I did the Bikram teacher training, and the whole, so do you know anything about like my past or anything like that?
I don't know that much. That's why I'm really excited to be like doing this with you.
Yeah. So in 2004, right when I was about to graduate high school, my boyfriend hung himself. And it was, it was literally right when I was graduating, and he was like my best friend. Like, and obviously, like, when something like that happens, like, it's fucking traumatic.
Oh my God. Yeah.
It was the darkest I've ever been in my life. And I went into like a spiral of like depression and like black hole. Yeah. And like, I was, for like a while, I was just like really depressed. Like, I just couldn't function. I just didn't. And actually, I don't even really remember a lot of the time after he killed himself. Like, I think I was in like shock still.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, how old were you?
I was only 17.
Holy shit. Oh my God.
Yeah. It was not the way that most people end high school. Most people are like going to prom and like graduating and being excited. I was like, not okay. But like after Abe hung himself, I was like trying to figure out how to start feeling in my body again because I was very numb. And I was like skydiving and tried boxing and horseback riding. And eventually my dad kind of pushed me to go into Bikram yoga. And at first I like hated him for it. I was like, ugh, I don't want to be in this like sweaty ass room. I hate this. And then like I started going more and more and I was like, oh my God, wait, I'm feeling happy. Like I started smiling again. And I was like, whoa, nothing has made me smile in like a year. So the fact that I was feeling like joy in my physical body again was like foreign substance to me. And
oh my God, yeah.
Get it? Because the hot power fusion sequence, like there's something magical behind it. And like Bikram himself, I mean, we all know like whoever has watched that Netflix documentary, but he's like a crazy man. And like I did training with him and he is super crazy, but like the thing that he brought to the United States is like still really powerful, even though he's like not the best person. But my question for you is like, okay, so I feel like it's kind of a catch 22 because oftentimes people ask me like, what is the thing that you would suggest to help me get over depression or alcoholism or drug addiction or whatever it is? And I always will say yoga because I've watched people who are heavily addicted to alcohol, heavily addicted to drugs, deeply, deeply depressed, who can't function, start doing yoga and their whole life changes. They're no longer addicted. They're no longer depressed. Like they're happy. But how do you get the person in the room when they can really function to even get in the door?
I love this question because so I feel like yoga can help literally anyone get out of a rut, a hole, a rock bottom, but it's getting that person to step outside of themselves and just kind of surrender to something new. Because so a little bit about why I started yoga. I moved to LA. I got out of like the worst narcissistic relationship. He broke up with me. I was 22. I drove from Florida to California with just my car and that's it. Like basically no money. Like I was a fucking idiot for doing this, but you know, I was super young and naive. And so I was working at LF on Larchmont. I somehow transferred from, because there's LFs in Florida as well. So I kind of lined that up magically. I don't know how. And there was this woman who used to come in to LF all the time. Her name was Amor. She was this beautiful goddess, black woman who would always come in there smelling like sweat. And she was a Bikram yogi. She practiced Bikram all the time at the Bikram studio, like on the west side, right? It's like in that big building.
I don't think it's there anymore, but I know which one you're talking about, like the one off La Cienega.
Yeah, and it's like you walk in and you go to the left and it's just, it's like the Bikram headquarters pretty much.
Yeah, that's where I did my teacher training.
Right, so I think she did her teacher training there as well. And she actually brought me there a couple times to do Bikram there. So I can actually,
right? That
room. Yeah, huge. It's fucking, it's insane.
I had 300 people in my teacher training.
It's a really crazy energy. And I was so young when she brought me there. So I really had no idea what I was getting into. But before she brought me there, she kept coming into LF and she would shop the sale and she was my client. She was my friend, you know? And I was deeply depressed. I was heavy. I was heavier than I've ever been. Not that I'm saying I'm heavy, but I was not eating good. I was drinking. I was, you know, I had just done drugs for most of my college years. And, I was going through the worst heartbreak of my life. I was living out of my car. It was a fucking mess. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so she said, you need to stop complaining. I understand that you're sad. I understand that you're depressed. I understand that you don't like your body. But when I come in here, all you're doing is moping. Like she's like my client. And like she would come in and I'd be like venting to her like she's my mom, you know? And so she would be like, you know what? I don't want to hear it anymore. I want you to go try yoga. I kept telling you to do yoga. And have you tried it yet? No. So she started to get like kind of you know, bitter with me in a good way.
Yes.
And she was like, you know what? You need to go try out these studios. What's it called? The yoga. Oh my God. What was on Larchmont? It was Yoga Works. So she was like, go to class at Yoga Works. They give you your first class free. And then if you like that, go to Core Power Yoga. They give you a free week. And I was like, okay. Cause I was poor. So I was like, yeah, I can't afford yoga. So she said, okay, get your free week and then let me know how you feel. And I said, all right, whatever. I went to my first class at Yoga Works and it was a hot class. It wasn't too hot, but I remember just something clicked. And I remember the teacher was playing the XX. And this is like back in 2000, I want to say like 2012. And something. What's up?
What is XX?
The XX, the band.
Oh, I, yeah.
And for some reason, like when that song came on, it like unlocked some crazy energy channel in my body. And I was like, this is fucking awesome. Everyone's moving together. Everyone's sweating together. I can feel the energy. It's like nothing I had felt ever in my life. And I just, even though I like was shitty at yoga and I felt like I wasn't doing anything right, I felt this really big rush of like, of energy from the people in there and the music. And that's like a huge part of my life is music. Mm-hmm. And so I got my teacher, I went to my free week at Core Power. And from there I was hooked, the energy, just everything. And I did the yoga for trade. So I could like get free yoga and clean and help them at the studios. And what yoga did for me was it opened my eyes to the capability that I don't have to sit in my own fucking guilt and shame and sorrow. And I could allow myself to just get outside of my pity party because I was so stuck in the mud. And there were, you know, there were classes, I want to say for the first 5 or 6 months that I practiced yoga at Core Power, before the teacher would come in and you're laying on your mat, I would be dreading the class. Like I wasn't, I knew that after the class, I was going to feel amazing, but I hated that moment, you know, before, because you know how hard it is and you know how you're going to cry and how shitty you feel when you're in a stretch that like feels kind of torturous. And, but I just remember the emotional release, and that's what kept bringing me back. And it got to the point where the only time of my day that I was looking forward to or that I was pleasantly, you know, excited for, because I was working for other fashion companies at this point that I hated, the only time that I looked forward to in my day was HPF at night. And then it just started to click when some stuff happened through the months. I started to realize like, why the fuck am I working a job that I don't want to work anymore when I could, you know, obviously yoga makes me feel so good. So it was healing my body. It was healing my mind. It was helping me with my depression and my isolation and my low self-worth. And you know, but fast forward 7 years, I'm still working on those things. So it's not a journey that ends. I'm working at those things in a completely different way. And I feel like a completely different person. And yet I still have so many layers of trauma and, you know, sexual trauma, family trauma, a different type of low self-worth, because once you start awakening and once you start connecting to your body and you're doing yoga or you're doing whatever type of thing that helps you connect to really who you are, like waking up to who you are. And it's not fun. It's not pretty all the time, but it sure does make you feel better than being stuck in mud. So
it's totally true. Yeah. I resonate with a lot of that, and I will agree that it's funny because I used to be I would see like these yogis on Instagram that were just like so in love with yoga, and I'm like, I literally have a love-hate relationship with yoga. And like, it's for me, it was never just like here's my like pretty yoga poses. It was always just like, here, I'm doing yoga so that I can actually survive and not like want to die. It's like
literally
the only thing that was making me happy. It was the thing that was like helping me not to suffer, not to turn dark, not to like completely give up. And it was like always kind of more of like a lifeline for me than it was like, I mean, I think it's amazing what people have done with yoga, and it's cool now. Like it's accessible to anybody, anywhere, anytime. There's literally no excuse not to do yoga. And I think like, yeah, it's pretty amazing that there's so many different types of what we can offer to people. Just in regards to no matter what you're going through, like there's somebody out there who can be a perfect match for you as a teacher.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's about finding your style of yoga, the yoga studio that you, you know, that you resonate with. Like that's a huge thing because people have reached out to me and they're like, oh man, like I don't like this kind of yoga because I had a bad experience with a teacher. And it's like, that's a shame, but you know, you got to keep looking, you got to keep searching. Okay.
Yeah.
So
what you do like CBD and stuff. So quick.
Hell yeah, I do.
Okay. Quick story. So I've always like tried CBD and it's like never done anything to me. So I'm like, okay, I don't understand like why, what CBD does. And then I tried my friend's dog's CBD oil. And I did like 2 squirts of it and it like knocked me on my ass. I was like, holy shit, I am like flying right now. I was like so calm, peaceful, chill, like chill vibes. My body felt amazing. I slept great that night. Like I was like, oh, so like this is CBD. But I was just like so laughing that like it took all the way through that journey. And then I eventually was like, oh, now I get it. But tell
that's
me,
interesting.
Isn't that freaking weird? I was like, I don't understand why dog CBD affected me versus like the human one.
Okay, well, I think so. I have a couple of theories because one, you smoke weed and you do THC, so or you used to at least, or do you still?
I don't smoke that much weed anymore. When I was younger, I used to smoke like every single night. And now I could have like a sack of weed and it will literally last me forever to get through it.
Yeah.
And I always just wanted to feel like just more like alert. And now when I like really, really want to smoke weed, I will. But it's always usually like by myself. I'm more of like a loner smoker rather than like doing it with other people. I just like to do it at night when I get
So I used to be the same. I used to smoke every day to just be normal, and then I realized that once I don't know, I just started to like really find myself feeling more anxious than anything, and I think it was because I was hanging out around the wrong people, so it had a lot to do with the energetics of who was around me. So my theory is maybe the CBD that you were taking, one, the first time it could have just been a really low grade. It could have been a low milligram. It could have been that you didn't take enough. But the thing with CBD is that it's not supposed to make you feel high. There have been times where I've taken a mega dose of CBD at night. And since I don't really smoke weed anymore or THC, I'll get like a bit of a head high, but I also suffer with anxiety. So it really is an energetic type of like molecule. Like when people talk about herbalism and they are all into these tinctures and herbs that can help heal the body. What they do is they go into that herb with an intention. And without the intention, the herb could go into the body and not really do anything. And I think that is the same with CBD, because people will say, oh yeah, I tried CBD, it didn't do anything for me. And I have to kind of take that with a grain of salt, because education is everything. And so if I were to take something tomorrow, some tincture or some herb that I have no idea what it is, I might not feel anything from it because I don't even know what it is.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
So the fact, like when I started doing CBD, I started with topicals and then I started just educating myself a little bit more and I started realizing, oh, wow, this is like perfect for me because I don't want to feel anxious. I don't want to feel high. And that's the beauty of CBD is that it's non-psychoactive. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that there's people out there who will say, no, that's not true. I feel semi-high when I take CBD, which is totally possible. Especially when you're taking a high milligram, potent, really strong dose. Like for me, if, you know, I take breaks from it. Like I haven't really taken tincture in probably a month because I was trying to even cleanse off of that.
Yeah.
Because once your body gets used to something, you can get stuck in these different cycles. And then when I get back into it and I take, you know, one dose, I will feel super chill and super mellow, and it helps with all sorts of things like inflammation, insomnia. But I think it really does depend on your intention and like set and setting. Like even though it's not a psychedelic, you know, like why are you taking it and the grade of it and like being aware of what you'd like to receive from taking CBD. And that's why I've been creating CBD yoga workshops for the past 3 years, which were doing really, really well when I was living in Miami. And then I did one in Hollywood in 2018. And it was, you know, right before CBD started really blowing up like it is now. And people were like so amazed and so like pleasantly surprised at what CBD can do for your yoga practice, because some people are so resistant when they go into their practice because they know that they're tight or they know that they're emotional and they don't want to do the work because they know that it's going to suck. But like CBD kind of adds this layer of calm energy and it helps open up your muscles. It helps release some friction and tension like internally, like mentally. So that's why I've been combining the two things together for a while.
I love that. I'm going to try that more for sure. I'm going to get it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Wow, that's awesome.
Wait, so earlier you were saying that you did your Bikram training super early. And so, because I can relate to the deep, deep depression. Like, so for people who are struggling with depression, or I even wanted to talk about like healing sexual trauma or just like abusive relationships, because even though the relationship that you were talking about of your boyfriend at the time taking his own life, I wouldn't label that as abuse, but it's trauma from a relationship. And in order, I don't know, like there's just so many different layers into healing our trauma through yoga, but shadow work is a huge thing that I feel like you bring into the room when you teach. And I think that's something I got from you. That's like a knowledge kind of teaching way that I grabbed from you. And I would love to just dive into ways that you've done shadow work in your life.
Yeah. Oh my God. I feel like starting to work with the chakra system was something that really helped me to dig into shadows, because I started seeing like a pattern and I started understanding that when I had a blockage happening internally, it would always manifest itself externally. And so if it was like trauma, like you know, somebody dying and you've experienced like guilt or grief or whatever that is, like you're going to basically as a human cope with it as best you can because you don't know what else to do. So you'll stuff it somewhere where you feel safe and where, you know, you can try to like manage it best you can. But a lot of the time, like that stuff doesn't fully leave the human body and it sits there and festers and stays with you. Especially if you're somebody that like is brand new to you know, spirituality, yoga, meditation, breath work, like that kind of stuff. Like if you don't have tools like that in your back pocket, then like you might have, and especially if you've been through really traumatic childhood or stuff growing up, you might have accidentally and not even knowingly stuffed that stuff away inside of you. And that's literally what creates the shadow in the first place. So even like shadow work is like, it means that you're pulling those shadows to the surface and you're helping yourself heal from them. Like you're helping yourself deal with them. And so I really liked the chakra system because it was like a way for me to kind of like be able to navigate what was happening in my body. And I was like, oh my God, like I'm experiencing, you know, this pain in like my hip. And oftentimes it's connected to your sacrum, which is connected to your sexuality, which then you can look back in your past and be like, okay, holy shit, I do have this thing that's still coming up. Like, and that's probably why certain things are hurting in my hips. Or like, oh, yeah. Me, I, like I hear you when you were saying like you have anxiety. I had really just, my heart talks to me all the time. And like, you know, a lot of the time it's anxious and I have now I have more of like more management over it because I do meditate daily and I practice yoga daily and like stuff like that. But for a long time, I had no way to release my heart. And so it was just in constant pain. It was in constant like just all the time anxious. And it was carrying around a lot of like childhood grief, childhood trauma, all of the heartbreak, all of the heartache, all that stuff just festering in there. And so
what are some of the real quick, what are some of like the most in front of the line, like childhood or, you know, adolescence pains that you were dealing with? You don't have to get super detailed, but just to like paint a picture.
So like there was alcoholism in my family and it was really scary to experience as a kid because I was never sure, like, you know, what I was going to get when I went home. I didn't know if it was like a sober day or if it was like a dark day. And, it was really scary. Like there, you know, and if it was like a dark day, then it was like, okay, well, we just don't know what I'm going to be dealing with this person. And, like how it got really bad many, many times. Very abusive. And, it was really traumatic to grow up like that. And like, definitely creates, certain kind of energy as an adult that, you have. It's weird because I've noticed kids who have alcoholic parents when they grow up all have very similar traits as adults.
And I've heard that.
Yeah. Yeah. I've looked into it. I'm like, oh, wow, that is really, really crazy. And so it's stuff that I've just really done a lot. Actually, working in my Akashic records is like beyond one of the best tools that I've ever given myself. And I feel very blessed to be able to do that work for other people because like some of the stuff, A, that people aren't able to deal with on their own, I can help them with when their records are open. Or B, oftentimes like people don't even know what the shadow is. Like they're like, I know I feel like shit, but I don't know why. And so it's like we can open up your records and like dive deep and pick things apart little by little. And it's always done with this like layer of like love and like positive energy. It's like this beautiful fifth dimensional energy. And like that shit goes deep. It's crazy doing that work with like strangers that I have never talked to before. And all of a sudden we're like digging into like the shadowiest parts of themselves and like they're able to like move forward and heal from it.
Okay. Whoa. So
yeah.
Okay. I sort of know what Akashic records is, but like I'm like your skeptic that like barely knows anything. So totally. For those of us who like are, you know, not understanding what that is, can you explain what that is?
Yeah, so basically every soul has like a blueprint, and the Akashic records are like the energetic blueprint regarding your soul's journey through space and time. So even like now as we are talking, it's basically recording our blueprint, this like, you know, energy that we have happening. And it's every life that you've ever lived. It's your whole journey as your soul. And so with the person's permission, or if I open up my own records, I open up your records, and people say it's like called the book of life, or going into like the library, the book of life. And I would get to see your specific book as Gab, and like I could open up your records and you could ask me literally any question, no questions off limits, and I would just tell you what I see, feel, and hear with inside your records.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's so crazy. And it's really cool too, because like, you know, a lot of my clients book with me over just over the internet. So I don't have anything at all but a voice over the phone. And I ask their name whenever I call them for their appointment. And so I don't have anything but a name and a voice. And we're able to like go into these like crazy places. I have many, many different women ask me about like sexual trauma, and darknesses and past life stuff, just like filling in the missing pieces, because it's, you know, sometimes it can be really hard to like not have anybody to talk to about that stuff. And you're just like there in the world on your own. And for me personally, growing up, like the work that I do now is all connected to the third eye, and like, you know, helping people increase their intuition and like learn to trust themselves intuitively. And like a part of the reason why was like when I was going through all that dark stuff, I was told go to therapy, but I never once like felt like I got anything out of therapy. I was like, these people do not understand me. They don't understand me spiritually. I was always so like, not that you can be like ahead spiritually, but I just was on a different path spiritually. I was like, everything I'm talking to them about, they don't get what I'm saying. And it's just like, it's not in my realm that I want to keep continuing this. But then when I would talk to like spiritual healers or like really good psychics, obviously not all psychics are great, or Akashic Records teachers, people like that, I was like, holy shit, this is therapy. This is my kind of therapy, because I'm a spiritual freaking being living a human experience, and I need somebody to talk to about this stuff that isn't human, that's like on space and time, that our human eyes can't perceive, that I'm going through right now. And I needed somebody who like understood me on that kind of level. So that's how I started getting into it, was like, okay, like this, there's more happening in this life than meets the human eye. And I'm one, curious about what the heck that is. And two, like, that's why I wanted to help other people to navigate it as well. Because it's twofold, you know?
Yeah. So like, I mean, what you're
somewhere else.
Yeah. And I remember vividly when you, when we hung out a couple of times, that you mentioned that you were psychic, and I was not in that realm yet. I was pretty young and I was super into it, but I didn't really like grasp it. And what you're basically explaining is you tap into your psychic abilities, especially what you're explaining with the people over the phone. I mean, that's pure psychic ability at your, that's what the work is. And I completely resonate with how the traditional therapy model, it doesn't work for me either. I was in high school, I was not forced to go to therapy, but I did go through several therapists, and I never felt a deep connection to any of them. But there was one, and I was 16 years old, and I remember this woman, she practiced Reiki and chakra balancing on me, because she was new to that practice. So I was 16, and so this is like 2007, and so we would have our session, and she, at the end, she'd be like, is it okay if I could practice the Reiki and the chakra balancing on you? And I always said yes, because I feel like I've always kind of been open to it, you know what I mean? Yeah.
For sure.
And so she would use the pendulum and go over each chakra, and I had no fucking clue what she was doing, but I always felt better when I left. Yeah. And it's so interesting now that that happened so long ago. I had no idea what she was doing. But I was so open to it. And I was so like wondering, like, and she was the only therapist who I really resonated with. And, I think that it just goes to show that everything that comes into your life, everyone and every recommendation or every practice comes into your life for a reason. And at that time, I wasn't maybe awake enough to keep that going or to ask my mom to find a therapist who does that, because I was just not really aware that I could even find another therapist who did that. But like what you're saying is, it just resonates with me so much, because it's basically a spiritual soul therapy that we need, like people like us who are listening.
Totally.
It's deeper than just sitting in a chair and talking about your trauma, because after an hour of that, I don't really feel better. I need tactics. I need substance. I need someone to tell me how to get through it. Whatever ways, not just, oh, go home and journal. You know, I've journaled since I was 8 years old. I have, you know, I've gone through thousands of journals with no one even telling me to do that. And I just think that it's so important for people to understand that doing shadow work is so triggering, and so it makes you feel very like fragile. And I know for me, like, it just seems to be like one thing after another keeps coming up. Like when you feel like you've gotten through one trauma, then another one pops up, because you're getting deeper and you're getting more comfortable with yourself. So my question to you is, if someone comes to you and they say, you know, I'm fully aware I have sexual trauma, but you don't know anything else about them, or I don't know, maybe you do, but they're asking you to help them heal their sexual trauma and their sexual wounds, how would you go about doing that with them?
So truthfully, each of my clients is like completely different, and I have several different healing modalities that I use. But if I was working with a client, like, you know, for a continuous period of time, what I would probably start with is the Akashic Records, so that I have more information. And then just based off of what we see inside the records, because not all healings are the right, like your records might suggest something that's like totally left field, something that like I as Myla like would never ever come up with or think about, like will be inside that person's records. And it'll totally make sense to them. Like it's really kind of crazy. So I'd probably start with the records, which in itself is a healing. Oh, and also like side note, like everybody has the ability to read their Akashic records. It's actually not psychic abilities when you have your records open. It's like our birthright to be able to have access to our records. It's like a remembering of our soul. So that's something that's really amazing. But so I would start with the records, and then I do a lot of Reiki healing with my clients. And I honestly feel like with my own path, that's something that helps me heal from a lot of trauma was Reiki. So a lot of my clients will do like distance healing, Reiki distance healing, and I'll just do all of their seven main chakras. So very similar to what you were talking about, just to help them get like their energy unstuck. And especially if they're like, you know, because if the wound is not very fresh and it's very deep, it could be different than somebody who's like just gone through something and is like the wound is open and very, very fresh. So it's very like, dependent upon like what's happening with the person. But I would definitely suggest doing Reiki distance healing, and then also doing yoga, meditation, and truthfully like breath work. Breath work is like one
so hard.
It's like the main thing that I would tell someone to do to release trauma, because a lot of people aren't willing to get on their mat and do the work themselves.
like yoga, breathwork, meditation. Like even if I suggest it to them, they're just not going to.
I can't really hear you too well right now.
Oh yeah. Can you hear me better?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So if the person's not going to be willing to get on their mat and do the breath work, the meditation or the yoga, I would definitely suggest doing like Reiki distance healing and doing an Akashic records reading. Cause those in themselves are like magic. They're like game changers.
It's, and also like, I feel like when I'm teaching, I can tell who is super tapped into their practice and willing to go deep. Just, you can just tell. And then there's those people in the class who are more outside of their body and looking around. And I feel like when you're doing any type of energy work or teaching yoga, there's people in the room who have been holding on to their traumas and their wounds for years. And then there's people who have been holding on to their traumas and wounds, but they actually are ready to release them. And like, I feel like sexual trauma is one of those things where in the back of your head, you can know that it was there for your whole life or however long, but it's the moment that you say, okay, I want to release myself from this, that kind of completely, that's when one wall is broken down and you can feel the wound, like it just happened, you know, like it brings you back and it makes you feel like it just happened yesterday because you're allowing yourself to go there and to think about it and to release it. So it's a very vulnerable place to be.
That's such powerful stuff. Yeah. Like that's it. When what you're saying exactly is like when you decide, and I think that's truthfully like the more powerful medicine is that when you stop deciding that that is still your story and that that still defines you, that's when you really start to shift and when you start to change. And I think that's like, I was in like a very victim mentality for a really long time. And that's like what my story was. And I got to a place where I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I understand that this is a part of my past, but I don't need to be defined by it so heavily every single day. I can let it go. I can rewire my brain. I can reshape my brain. And it's by way of like one step at a time, choosing a better thought, choosing a better feeling, choosing that I'm not going to like live inside of my past anymore and that I'm going to like be a present human being. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. This is the kind of territory that I'm like, that I've been really, really focusing on recently, is because everything that you just fucking said is exactly what I'm living. Becoming a better person, unidentifying myself, because I identified myself as a bad person for having anger and depression and lashing out on my family and, you know, fucking up relationships and friendships when I was in my, you know, teens and 20s. And now, as I have been living in this self-development and self-betterment type of realm, I live with my family right now, and it's been really, really triggering because when I'm around them, I feel like I go right back to that self-identification of, oh, I'm depressed, or oh, I'm the problem, or oh, I'm dark, or oh, I need to stay away. When in reality, they have no idea how much I've changed. You know, I have a podcast now. I am making courses, and it's not their responsibility to, you know, see me in a new way. But for some people, like in my family, they're stuck in the past and they look at me and they still identify me as this person, which has been really, really hard for me to just like, you know, have to get through it and surrender to that, because you can't force someone to see you in a way that you think you are now. They have their own perspective, and I guess childhood trauma and family trauma is something that everyone is kind of dealing with right now, especially with the coronavirus and being quarantined. I mean, I can only imagine how much shadow work is being forced upon our country right now, especially if people are living with their family or a partner or people who they really feel triggered by, and feel like they can't be their highest self. Like what you said earlier really stuck with me when you said, oh, when I was finally starting to laugh and smile, it felt foreign to you, right?
Yeah.
When I'm around certain people, certain family members, it's really hard for me to laugh and smile because I feel so identified. Like I have to hide, or I have to, like, if I were to laugh or smile, I would be looked at as crazy, or I feel very like it's a blast to the past. And I feel like I'm not the only one feeling this right now. So it's just really, it's hard to get through that layer of, okay, this is who I am now. And the people who are around me, they're going to have their ways of looking at me, but you can't always identify and define yourself as what they see you as.
What's cool about that too, is that like, once we begin to understand that it is not anybody's job but our own to like, our vibration is our control, and that's all that we have control over. Like, it's not our job to raise the vibrations of everybody else. It's not our job to, like, you know, do this or that. What is our job and always will be our job is to make sure that our own personal vibration is in check. And I think that's like, when I was younger, I used to want to like turn the light bulb on for other people and be like, hey, like, you're like, don't you get it? Like, this is, you know, you'll feel better if you do this, or like, I've changed, notice that, or whatever it was. And then finally I was like, you know what? Like, it's actually not my job to get them to see me a certain way. It's not my job to get them to be happy. It's not my job for them to do anything. Like, all I get to do is create this really badass interior world within myself that's fucking unbreakable. And I can create that world to be anything that I want because it's me. It's my world, my thoughts, my insides, and nobody else has a say in what that looks like but me. So that's why I was like, all right, well, then I'm going to become really friggin' strong at being able to create this awesome world so that when I do step outside and other people are crazy, or, you know, I'm near my family, or like whatever the hell it is that's like triggering, I've got this like strong interior intuition, immune system, this inner like thoughts, feelings, all of that built up so that like nothing can fuck with me, you know?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, it's, you really have to create a, I don't give a fuck mentality in like the most, you know, in the best way. And I don't mean that in like fuck everybody, but you really have to, it's like a protection. It's like, cause if you're walking around guilty, which I'm that person, you know, I will carry guilt for, you know, friendships or relationships or a family relationship that hasn't healed. I will hold on to that like it's all my fault, it's all my problem. When it's two people, you know, it takes two people to heal something. And there comes a moment where you just really have to say, this isn't serving me anymore, and it's actually keeping me from being happy and being joyful and being my highest self. And sometimes you just really have to allow yourself to step back and trust, and just trust the universe that things will work out. But I can't wait to do an Akashic Records session with you, because now I understand more about what it is, and I trust you so much. And it would be so cool to do that with you.
It teaches you to have so much compassion. Like, I can't even explain, like, because, you know, you'll see like past lives where you've been like a really bad person, and you basically understand like, well, shit, like I choose to love myself no matter what. And then you carry that over into all of your relationships. Like, you know, you really start to understand the soul level truth behind what's happening versus like our human eyes will just get like annoyed with people or put up walls or whatever. But with the records, you're like, holy crap, like I see you as a soul and you're doing your best. Like you are doing the best with what you've got right now. And like, I need to give you a break. And like, that's what I think so cool is like, you just learn to feel compassion towards everybody on the planet for like, they really are trying their best with what they have right now. And it's a cool way to like look at things.
Yeah. And you know, some people aren't at our level of, let's say, spiritual growth, or some people still react in conversations with anger. And some people, you know, are going to say things that make you really angry. But I think like, I definitely need to work on more compassion towards myself and others. I feel like I have more compassion for other people. But I do get in those clicks where I'm like, oh, I'm doing the best I can. Like what you just said, like I really am. Like when I look back at my childhood and I look back at the trauma that I've been through, granted, my life could be way worse. You know, believe me, I see how it could be way, way worse. I'm very blessed. I'm very privileged. But there are these moments where I'm like, wow, dude, you've been through a fucking lot. Like, and I go through like my childhood, my adolescence, my college. It's like, you know, this all happened for a reason and you got through it and, you know, you're alive. I feel like I should have died like 5 times already. And just the fact that I'm still here, it helps me realize like, you got to give yourself a break. You have to, or else you're just going to keep like dragging in the mud. And like, if we could learn how to give ourselves a break and just like allow ourselves to make amends with whatever we did in our past or whatever anyone did to us, then I feel like that's the ultimate like next level of healing. And where we're at right now with our country and everything.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Yeah, exactly. I feel like the earth was like, okay, nobody's taking the break they need. So I'm going to quarantine you guys so that everybody has to break.
Literally. That's I 100%. There's so many deep meanings and metaphors as to why this is happening. And it, in my eyes, when I started seeing this unfold, I was like, this makes perfect sense. The universe is done. The universe is like, fuck you guys. You know, everyone's burnout, you're ruining the earth. It's just one big, it's like a movie, you know, it's like, this is what has to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think this is a great time. It's giving people a huge opportunity to like turn their awareness inward. And, you know, hopefully people are taking it as that, like, you know, it's easy to get stuck in the like, well, I guess I'm just going to eat and drink and watch TV all day, every day. But it's like, or you could, you know, learn to take better care of your mind, learn to take better care of your body, learn to take more breaks and like, you know, really dive in deeper.
Oh yeah. There's definitely the two polarities right now. I mean, I see just from social media, I see the people out there who are drinking and partying and, you know, like whatever, being lazy. And that's going to last for however long it lasts for them. But then they're going to realize, oh shit, like I feel like crap. And that's when the shadow work comes through. Mm-hmm. For some of us, we've already been in the realm of shadow work. So for me, I've already been isolated. I don't have any friends here. I just moved to be with my parents the first week of January, which is crazy because I felt spirit and I felt my highest self screaming at me to get out of Philly and to come down south and focus on my health. I didn't want to. I didn't want to listen. I said, fuck that. I'm not moving in with my mom and my stepdad. You got to be fucking kidding me. And my spirit guides kept telling me, you need to. You have to. And I was like, all right. And, you know, fast forward a month later, we're in this weird situation where thank God I'm here. Thank God I'm not alone in Philly. You know, I'm being taken care of and I'm saving money. And it's really wild. It's really wild when you think about how things happen for a reason and tapping into that inner voice.
I was supposed to be in Peru right now.
for your retreat, right?
Yeah, I was hosting a yoga retreat. We had 25 people going, and we were so on the fence. We were like, well, I don't know if we should go. It was like a few days before like all the shit hit the fan. And then like that weekend was when everyone started like going out, hoarding food and toilet paper, and all the chaos kind of started like brewing. And we were like, I don't know if this is a good idea. Like, I don't feel comfortable leading this many people into another country with all of this happening. And so we had to make the official decision, like, not to take everybody and to, like, postpone the retreat, which is – it's going to be this time next year, which we were kind of bummed. We were like, wow, that seems like a long time. But now we're like, maybe it's not. Like, we don't even know how long this is going to go on for. And then the day before we canceled, Peru shut their borders.
Wow.
Okay, holy shit. Like, we could have all been on airplanes and been stuck in Peru, which I have a friend not associated with my retreat that is stuck in Peru right now, and he can't get out of the country.
Oh, my God. That's terrifying.
It's crazy. And it's not like, oh, I'm in Peru, like, chilling on the beach and vacation. Like, he can't go on the beach. He can't, like the officials are not letting people do anything. And it's like, it's crazy. So
yeah, it's like, how you, it's like fend for yourself. And it's, yeah, I mean, I think we're very lucky that, that we are part of the awakened, awakened collective, because we're able to see this in a different way. I can't imagine the people who, you know, they don't even have a toe dipped in spirituality. They're probably shitting themselves, which is why people are probably so obsessed with getting toilet paper. I don't know. But, like, imagine the fear, you know, I mean, and I feel like we could have an entire podcast just about that, which would be kind of fun. Just like talking about the spiritual aspect of all of this, totally. Because there's so many layers to it. And I'm so glad that you're safe and you're not in Peru and you're not stuck. And I might have to come on that retreat though when you do it. Cause
I know, that would be so awesome to have you. And it's crazy because the group we thought that was going to go, like, I don't think that's going to be our group. Like, I think we're going to have a not completely different, but like, there's going to be a difference in energy by the time this comes around next year. So it's kind of, it's just crazy how things work out. And everyone keeps asking me, like, are you okay? And truthfully, like, I feel like this was meant to be. Like, I don't feel fear. I don't feel like I know there is a shadow side of what's happening, but like, I really understand that the Mother Earth is purging right now, and it's meant to be. It's on purpose. And like, you know, I'm actually about to start a cleanse soon too, just because I like need to. And I feel like that's what she's doing. She's cleansing. And it doesn't always look pretty. Cleansing's not always pretty, but it's fucking necessary.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it's just kind of funny to think, like, I felt like I was in quarantine already, because before this happened, I was in a new town living with my parents, or my mom and my stepdad. And the highlight of my week would be like going to yoga, or like going to the grocery store, or working on my podcast. So I already was writing about this kind of stuff, about how lonely I was, about how I was wasting my life away, about how, you know, I wish I had friends. And it's almost like I feel better now that this is happening, because the pressure of me going out there and dating and meeting tribe, and it was really challenging for me to live my days feeling so isolated and like I was just kind of living in this realm all alone. And I feel almost better now because it's pushing me to like do more podcasts and work, you know, on my stuff at home, even though I was doing that already. But just, it's like another layer of the pressure is taken off. I don't have to be feeling like, oh, I should be dating, or I should be doing this, or everyone is forced to be in an inverted introvert kind of life. And I think that that's a beautiful thing because it's going to force us to spend time with our family or alone. And either or, you're doing work, you're doing shadow work.
I totally agree. I was like dying laughing. My friend was like, so how's your love life? I was like, first of all, if you started like quarantine with like a quarantine bae, then like totally go with that like quarantine sex and that hot, you know, quarantine.
Yeah.
But I'm like, but you can't all of a sudden start a relationship when you're in quarantine. I was like, why
yeah. are you
asking me this question? I was like, you know, I'm not with anybody right now. I was like, I'm not going to go like randomly pick up some guy when we're all like on quarantine and like fearing the coronavirus. I was like, I think I'm okay for now and just to like focus on my business.
She was yeah, I think it's a huge sign. Like, you know, I guess we can end it on this, is that like it's a huge sign from the universe. If we were, because like, for example, I was like ready to like start dating or maybe downloading the dating apps again, and then this quarantine happened and I was like, all right, spirit, I hear what you're saying. It's time to do more work. It's time to do more shadow work.
Yeah.
I'm not ready yet. And I'm like, okay, I'm totally okay with that.
Totally feel the same way. Okay, so before I let you go and before you let me go, I always ask my people these questions. So what would you say has helped you master your magic? I usually say this year, but, you know, in like the past year, what would you say?
Master my magic would be, well, accepting myself for who I am physically, my past, emotionally, like just accepting myself for who I am has helped me dig deeper into my own personal magic. And like my podcast and my writing. And I think that those are my kind of magic tools right now. And what helped me really get into that was just not giving a fuck and just accepting me for who I am. We can't make everybody happy. I still get DMs every day saying, I can't believe you said this on your podcast. I still get people name calling me. Not really that much anymore, because I feel like what I'm putting out is truly, truly me. And if someone doesn't resonate with it, they're not even going to like understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But just allowing myself to be human and just like just allowing myself to be there and meet myself there has given me permission to like start doing magic and start doing rituals and start leaning into spell work and candle magic. And like these are things that I would never think that I would be into because I just thought that I was, you know, that I don't have psychic abilities or clairvoyant abilities. But the deeper that you start to allow yourself to just maybe tap into it just a little bit, then you start recognizing how magical you actually are. And everyone's magical. Everyone has something to offer and everyone has magic that they tap into every day without them even realizing what it is.
That's so cool. I love that so much. It's funny that you say all of those things. I literally just created the most freaking badass program. I'm so fucking proud of it, but it's called Master Your Third Eye. And it's like 7 modules long. And it like basically teaches everybody that like everybody has psychic abilities and it teaches you how to like do candle magic. You learn how to open the third eye with Kundalini. You learn how to like whether or not you're clairvoyant, clairsentient, clairaudient, or claircognizant. And you learn like lucid dreaming. It's like, so each day there's like a different lesson, but I was
just, oh my God, that's awesome.
Yeah. I'm so, so excited about it. I've had a lot of cool feedback and like people having a lot of cool breakthroughs and, just interesting stuff happening. And cause it's all intuition based, but I literally just released that. So it's cool that you're like going down that path too.
Well, I will get that link from you and I'll put that in the show notes.
Totally. Yeah.
And then for anybody in your audience, I actually When I was deep in my kind of dark night of the soul, in the summer, I created a guided audio meditations workshop and journaling course called Modern Meditations. And what it is 8 hours, about 8 hours. So there's like, I think 10 different meditations that I recorded with binaural beats behind it. Mm-hmm. And along with the meditations is, like 8 pages of shadow work, creative journaling prompts that have helped me kind of dig into my pain and my suffering and my trauma. And I just pretty much shared whatever I did in those dark months. And I put it into a really easy workshop kind of online course. So I'll send you that link too. And since everybody's kind of suffering right now with quarantine, I made it really, really, really affordable. I used to be $55 and now it's split in half. So it's $27. So,
I love that. Yeah. So it's so the time to do this kind of work and so the time to like, yeah, it's now's the time. Totally.
Now's the time for sure.
Yeah. That's exciting.
Well, I really can't wait for our paths to cross. I'm supposed to be in California in mid to late May for like 3 weeks. I'm going to be dog sitting and house sitting for a friend in Long Beach. So if that's still happening, I really hope that it will. And I'm not sure when this episode is coming out, but I hope that I can still come out there and we have to meet up. You can come hang out with me and the dog.
Oh my God, totally. We need to like put a workshop together or something. It's, you know, we could do
a lot
of like, something with like CBD, restorative, chakra balancing, intuition.
I'm totally down. I'm going to be there for 3 weeks. So I would love to line something up and we could totally make a CBD healing yoga workshop happen. That'd be so amazing.
Ah, fun. Okay. Awesome.
Amazing.